Muslims, there's Buddhists. They can't use the name of Jesus. You have to receive him into your heart to have that privilege. And I praise God because we see miracles in this place every week. And we see people get set free by the name of Jesus. This isn't in my teaching, but I just feel really impressed. We need to just meditate on the greatness of that. If the name of somebody can unlock a prison door, if the name of somebody can make disease fall from your body, if the name of somebody can make demons flee in terror, how great is the person behind that name? And that's what we have. That's what it is. We're using just his name because his name is attached to his greatness. His name of Jesus is attached to his glory and his power. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! I preached myself happy. Okay, let's just go home. All right, that was my message. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. All right. God is so awesome. I just love it. I love to hear the testimonies. It's just so awesome. Just to see God move in people's lives. To see people that have suffered a half of a century practically in bondage get free. They have those shackles fall. That's what this is all about. This is about power. This is about authority we have over the spirit realm. Amen? You know, next time you take communion, I want you to think about something. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, there's two main trees that were spoken of. Correct? Okay? We had one tree was the tree of life. And the other one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was okay for them to partake of the tree of life. But then when they sinned and they committed high treason, they got cast out of that garden. And they didn't have that tree of life. There are no trees. You can't go to, Home Depot and buy a tree of life. It would be nice if we could, amen? But there is a tree in life in heaven. But you know what? Jesus came to restore everything that was taken from us when we lost our place in the garden. When we partake of the body of Christ, he said, I am life. I am that life. That you actually partake once again of the tree of life that Adam had in that garden. And when you partake of the tree of life, you are imparting life to you. That's why it's so important that you take communion every week. And you will see a change in your health. You will see a change in your whole mental thinking. Your emotions will be healed. Has anyone here seen a change since they started taking communion every week? Amen? Praise God. I know I have. I've seen a change in my life. They say, well, it's flu season, and I had something try to get on me, and normally something like that. That level would stick around 2 weeks solid. 3 days, done. I was up and running, not a trace. Amen? And I give God the glory, and I really do. All right. Well, that's not even my intro, but I just thought it would be good for you to hear that. Okay. We're going to wrap up, I think, tonight, at least for now, because I feel we need to move on past this week, our teaching on hedges. And what our teaching on hedges is, we're learning about the importance of having our lives protected from the enemy. Yes, we have a protection by God. But if we go and open the back door up to Satan when he knocks, there's not a whole lot God can do about that. We have the knowledge. We have the instruction right here. If we go walk in rebellion and just go letting the devil into our life, well, then you really can't stand at Psalm 91, okay? We have to know, but see, a lot of people are tricked. A lot of people are, it's hidden. The traps of the enemy are so covered over, and there's so many lies that mask it that people think, oh, knock, knock, knock. Well, here's this movie out, and here's these books called Harry Potter. You know, and they're just wonderful fiction books. And just look at all of our kids are reading 600 and 700 page novels. Isn't that wonderful? You wouldn't give your kid a needle full of heroin, would you? Just destructive, addictive, cause bondage, death. And that's what parents do when they allow their children to play with witchcraft. Tonight's subject, we are going to be looking at witchcraft, particularly targeted at children. Okay, I've got some interesting things that I've dug up, and I think you're going to find this interesting, some things I found interesting as I just searching around for this information. All right. First week, we learned about the dangers of New Age. We learned the next week about how to spot false teaching. And tonight, we're learning how to get witchcraft out of our home. As a matter of fact, that's the name of tonight's teaching, getting witchcraft out of your home. I have people come to me. They are bound in some serious bondage, whether it's mental, physical, I mean, you name it. I mean, seeing stuff floating around their house. I mean, just really nasty stuff. And I'll go through the list and I'll say, did you get rid of this? Did you get rid of this? Oh, yeah, I got rid of my Ouija board. Well, did you get rid of all your horror movies? Yes, got rid of all my horror movies. What about Harry Potter? Oh, no, my kids have every one out. We just love it. We just watch it every Friday night. You can't get free. That is witchcraft. That is an entrance to the devil. Okay. Let's, if you would, turn in your Bibles to our first scripture we're going to look at tonight, which is Acts chapter 19, starting with verse 11. Acts 19, 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Word got out. These seven sons of Sceva, they could not do anything with this evil spirit. And they even used the name of Jesus. But what did we just say a few minutes ago? They couldn't call on the name of Jesus because they hadn't made him their Lord. They just thought it was just another powerful word, maybe out of whatever words that they were using to cast out demons. And it didn't work because it wasn't in their heart first. They hadn't surrendered their life to Jesus, so it had no power in it. And word got out. The city of Ephesus was a very large city. And it says fear fell on them all. Verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. When the power of God is displayed, people who are involved in witchcraft know it. They know that the power that they walk in is inferior to the power of Almighty God. Okay? Anything Satan does is just simply a counterfeit of what God's power is. And what do they do? In verse 19, it says, many of them also which use curious arts. That's another word there. If you look that up in the Greek, it's a word for magic. Okay? Brought their books together. They burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now, a couple of things we want to look at here is they brought them out of their homes. It's important when people become Christians and they come to the knowledge of how important it is for your home to be clean of everything that's related and tied to the occult. You draw it out of your house and you destroy it. You don't bring it to a flea market so someone else can get in bondage. You burn it, or you, at the very least, get it in a dumpster in a black big bag that no one's going to find, and it's going to be destroyed, at least thrown into a dump. And also, this had value. 50,000 pieces of silver back then was probably a fair amount of money. And I've heard people say this. Well, you don't know how much money I've spent on all these toys. Well, I just spent so much money and, you know, all those DVDs and all these books. Who cares? It's bondage. It's destructive. And it's an abomination, even more so. Okay. So, destroying it, getting it out of your house, is the first step to freedom in your life. If you become a Christian and you keep it, it's like keeping something that's rotting in your refrigerator, but worse. It's going to eventually affect the rest of your food. Now, if I may get gross for 1 minute, say there's like maggots on a piece of meat, okay? Maybe you didn't clean out your refrigerator and it's way back there. And something started to really rot, get really rancid. And everything around it started to stink. That's what witchcraft does when you keep it in your home. It's rotted. It stinks. It's rancid. Actually, the word abomination means a stench, to stink, disgusting, loathsome. That's what the word abomination means. So, you cannot, because of money or because, well, you know, I was just going to upset Johnny and Susie. I just can't take away the Pokemon cards. They'll just, you just don't know them. They're just going to throw a fit. Well, you take away their heroin, too. You take their drugs out of their hand if you caught them with them. Okay? Parents need to get serious. They need to get real about this. Now, I know there's most of the people here tonight in this room know that a lot of this teaching, you're familiar with it, but a lot of what I'm saying goes out onto the internet and goes up on our website. And there are people that are clear across the other side of the world that hear these messages. We can tell because we can track and see who comes to our website. It's pretty awesome technology today. All right, let's look in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 18. That's right. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. I will translate for you. They would offer their children to Molech. They would burn their babies. They would put them up on a stone statue. This is there. You can still go over there in part of the world, and they still have the relics and the little tiny bones of little infants, where they would lay their child across the arms of this stone statue and burn that child and offer it as an offering to God, to that God, to Moloch. Or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. It's loathsome. It's a stench in God's nostrils. Now this is interesting. I want you to just look at this. We're not going to talk about it right now, but just take note of this. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Verse 13, there's something very key there. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observer of times, unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee so to do. We're going to talk about the different types of, besides we brought up Harry Potter and Pokemon already, but we're going to talk about the other forms that could be in your home that you need to watch for. There's occult fiction, okay? And it's not just Harry Potter. It's anything that has magic in it, Lord of the Rings. Anything that uses demonic power or sorcery is an abomination, okay? Now, 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus, the Son of Man, was made manifest for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Witchcraft and everything that it does to a human being, Jesus came to destroy, to set people free from that. But when people go and intentionally buy it, watch it, buy a movie ticket for it, you are undoing the work Jesus died on the cross for. Think about that. That's serious. If Jesus came to destroy that and you willingly engage in it, you are undoing the work Jesus did in your life. Occultic games. Magic, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic the Gathering, Care Bears, believe it or not. Smurfs, Ninja Turtles, Ouija boards. Occult videos, dooms, role-playing game, Dungeons and Dragons. Anything at all that uses the occult is a door to Satan. We're going to see tonight, I brought a video produced by Bob Larson, and he's been dealing with the occult, cults, alternative religion, deliverance for over 30 years. And does everyone know who Sean Sellers is? Do you remember who he is? He was the youngest, he was a young man, killed on death row. They executed him for killing his parents. He got to interview him, and you're going to see him. And he became a Christian before they executed him, praise God. But you're going to see what got him on death row and why they put him to death. But he was the youngest person to ever be put to death. Anything that uses demons, spells, charms. When you go into a Christian bookstore and you see a Christian charm bracelet, sorry, you can't mix those two words. They're opposites. The word charming means something that has the magical power attached to it to bring good fortune or luck or to change your circumstances. You cannot put it in Christian things, okay? So if you've got a charm bracelet at home, throw it out when you get home tonight, okay? Necromancy, which is talking to the dead. By the way, in here in Deuteronomy 18 is the complete list of all forms of witchcraft that exist. There are 9 forms of witchcraft. Necromancy, the show John Edwards put out. I don't even know if it's still out, Crossing Over. There's some people. I know 2 people that watch that show on a pretty regular basis. One, I hope she's free. I haven't heard from her in a long time. Another one just contacted me, and she watched it, and it became an addiction. And she's tormented, and she's got demons, and she knows it, and she's terrified just from watching that show. You can't open yourself up to that, okay? Divination comes in hundreds of different forms. Some of those forms are astrology, horoscopes, numerology, tarot cards, anything that you use to predict the future or to read what's going to happen, cards, dice, reading liver, animal entrails, that was common, tea leaves, coffee grounds, anything that people would say, they would look at it and it would fall in a different particular pattern and they would predict the future with it. It was witchcraft. Now people will say, well, You know, my grandmother did that, but she was just joking. It was, she wasn't, it was just something funny. Joke, funny, kidding, not in Satan's vocabulary. He's a legalist. You do it, you're guilty, period. I don't care if you did it once, if you were just, it was a joke, you didn't take it seriously, doesn't matter. You opened the door to the occult. You brought a curse onto your life. Good news is, as a believer, you could renounce it and break it and be free of it. Hallelujah. If it was more serious, then you need to go through deliverance. We can help you with that as well. Runes, those are stones with certain symbols on them. Water witching. A lot of people get property out in the country and find water. You heard about the stick you get and it bends down to the ground? That's witchcraft. That's occultic power. Healing magnetism. Okay? If you've ever bought magnets to put on your body, witchcraft. Okay, right, if this is you, just make a note, make a list of all the things you need to renounce, okay? Because we're gonna pray and we're gonna do some curse breaking after this, okay? A lot of people bought those copper bracelets. Back in the 1800s, early 1900s, they had their magnetism. They were called mesmerists, where they used giant magnets on people to cure them of certain diseases, things like that. I mean, there are literally encyclopedias of the different forms of witchcraft. I mean, it is endless. Satan doesn't care. As long as he's got you. You know, take your pick. Choose whichever one you're interested in. He doesn't care. He's going to destroy you with it. Okay? And that's what you have to know. You got to know. This is real. This is serious. Okay? And it's people need to know. Christians need to know this. Somebody's got to start telling us. You know, I grew up Catholic. I didn't know God because I wasn't taught that the Bible was true. So how could I know God? But I love God. I still went to church. I tried to serve Him as best as I could in my Catholic mind. I was never taught the truth. I can't tell you how many things, séances and oh my goodness. I mean, just Ouija boards, buy them at Toys R Us. You know, it's a big game. And it's serious. Serious bondage. I've had lists of stuff I had to renounce and break off of my life. I had no idea. No one ever told me it was wrong. Okay? Occultic books, Carlos Castaneda, Edgar Cayce. I don't know. Has anyone in here ever heard of the sixth and seventh book of Moses? Ever heard of that? That's one of the worst ones, isn't it? It's, and I'm going to read. I've got my book here tonight, and this is going to freak you out. It's called Christian Counseling and Occultism. This was written. This man did Christian counseling, specializing in the occult for over 40 years. When was this written? This was written originally in 1972. It's a little bit older. I don't know if this man, gentleman is still. No, he's. He lived from 1913 to 1987. German theologian and minister and evangelist, doctor of theology. He says his ministry took him to more than 65 countries on all five continents, and he wrote many really awesome books. This is, if you're ever interested in learning more about it, I think every form of occultism and what it does to a person is in this book. It's some strong stuff. I'm going to read a little bit out of it for you. Sylvia Brown books. Watching Sylvia Brown. Oprah Winfrey. She has her on like she's some guest. That comes on. Don't sit there and watch it. Okay? The reason why in the book of Acts the occult is referred to as a curious art. The curious art means it's got a hook in it. And Satan uses that hook. That's why these kids are reading these volumes and volumes of Harry Potter, is because that hook is in them and Satan is reeling them in. There's something about it. When you find out a little bit of information, you think, and you want to know more. And you go a little bit further. And you go a little bit deeper. And a little bit deeper. And before you know it, you're in full-blown witchcraft. Wow. bondage. Pray for him. For real. Occultic music. Led Zeppelin, Ozzy Osbourne, Nine Inch Nails, Slayer, Marilyn Manson. Music is just as deadly. It is just as poisonous. And those lyrics get down inside of you. How many people here could say you could remember a song, every single word, if you heard it come on the radio, you could sing along from the 1970s? I've got volumes of songs I could sing. Non-Christian, too, by the way. Just stupid lyrics that mean nothing. You've got them in a file somewhere in your brain that if you hear that music, you could come up with every word right on key, right? Why? Because music was originally intended for one reason, to worship God. As a matter of fact, Lucifer was in charge of praise and worship in heaven. Read about it in the book of Ezekiel, okay? He had instruments as a part of him. He knows how powerful that is. So if he can get people meditating and singing satanic lyrics and spells and blasphemous things, just think of the bondage you can get in from that, okay? So that's something you really got to guard against, too. You got to really watch that. And if it's, don't let that in your home. If you've got a teen child that has that kind of music, find a way. Get it out of your house. It's your house, yes. The Doors? Pretty demonic? Yeah? Pitch it. It's unanimous. It's an open door. There you go. All right. So, yeah, it's pretty serious stuff. All right. Well, here's the thing. Are the lyrics dark? Do they invite death? Do they invite violence? Do they worship the devil? Oh, okay. Well, then there you go. He got saved. Not for Black Sabbath. Wow. Wow. Praise God he got saved. That's awesome. Here's something else that I find very disturbing in fashion. Skulls and crossbones. Whoever said that was pretty? I'm not kidding you. I saw this young lady, pretty girl. She had this beautiful white sweatshirt jacket, and in silver glitter on the back of her jacket was a skull and crossbones. That's a satanic symbol. Okay? Right. I can see where this... We're going tonight. Okay. Get it out of your house. You can't let this stuff in. And if you know somebody who's starting to dress in black, that's starting to, you know, I'm talking all black, and dyeing their hair black when it's not black, and painting their nails black, and getting into the goth look, that is a door. They don't stop at that. That's not fashion, and it's not okay. That's a door. It's something else to lure these people in. As a matter of fact, people that are into the whole goth look and image, it's just a cover for vampires. There's vampire cults out there, okay? These are people who really think they're vampires. And it's all over, and it's here in Lebanon. Go to the fair. You can see them. Walk right by them. Groups of them. Go stand out in front of the theater. You can see them. I mean, we have got to stand up, and we have to tell our Christian neighbors, we have to tell our relatives this stuff is wrong, and to take their kids and steer them away from it, okay? If you're in your house, you have anything like statues, crystals, dragons. Some people have dragon collections, winged horses that are look like little unicorns. That's Pegasus. Okay? Fairies, elves, leprechauns, dream catchers. All of that will open the door up to the demonic in your life. Okay? I'm going to give you now, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you 7 dangers of dabbling. Let's turn in our Bibles back to Leviticus chapter 19. And we're going to look at verse 31. Okay. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. What kind of school is Harry Potter in? Wizardry. Okay, not that I've read the books or gone to a movie, but I do know enough about it to teach on it. If you allow your child to pursue Harry Potter or read it, guess what? That child is seeking after a wizard. Right there. You are allowing your child to break and to be an abomination in God's sight. And guess what that says? You allow that child to be defiled. That child will be defiled. It will affect them. You cannot pick that up and think it's not going to make an impact on their life. Except here's the thing with being defiled. You can't see it with the human eye. Not till it's really grown and blossomed. It's like a seed that gets down inside your heart. It may change the way you think. It may change your thought pattern, your choices, your action, who you are, who you have as your friend. What kind of classes you take? What kind of activities do you do? And before you know it, there's a stronger and stronger pull, deeper, deeper, deeper into the occult because they were defiled. That's serious. Who? Is anyone familiar with that?
Yeah, she
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. That's yeah. Procrastination. Huh. Wow. That's something. That's serious. Okay, let's look at another scripture. Just flip over one chapter, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6 through 8. Leviticus 20, verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go a-whoring after them, I will set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Does it say if you're an adult in that scripture? Not my Bible. You allow your child to take a position that God himself would begin to set his face against that child. Are we seeing this seriousness here? The gravity of this? This is not just, well, you know, it might get violent and not do good in school. No, this is like a heavy curse to go a-whoring after another God. You have left Jehovah God and you are now being unfaithful and you are playing with the devil. In Leviticus 20, verses 22 through 27, it says, and ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and my judgments, and do them, and the land, whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. Whoa. The land is going to spew people out for their evil. Says it right here. Natural disasters, sometimes I think it's from the evil. It's the land. Can't take it. And the land will literally vomit its inhabitants out. In Verse 23, and you shall not walk in the manner of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that flows with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. Verse 26, and you shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. A man also, or a woman, that has a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. Thank God for the mercy of God today, that we're not in the Old Testament. That is a progression. First it talks about being defiled by wizards, by familiar spirits. Then it talks about God setting his face against that soul. Then it talks about kill him, because it's evil and it'll infect the generations. The first danger of dabbling is it gives the devil a legal access into your life. It's outward rebellion. If you rebel and are disobedient, let's look at that. Just turn over to Isaiah chapter 1 real quick. I want you to see this. Isaiah chapter 1. You know, you might be sitting there thinking, wow, she's really harping on this one tonight. You know, folks, I see it a lot. I see it more than I'd like to see it. And it's getting worse. And it's on the increase. The last, and I guess the final book of Harry Potter has just been released. You know, I got an email from Amazon.com. You know, you can pre-order your copy here. Isaiah chapter 1, it says in verse 19, If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God's blessings are not unconditional. They come with a price, and that price is obedience to his word and submitting to him. Why? Because he knows it's safe for us. He knows what protects us. He wants us to be blessed. And he will not bless disobedience. In verse 20 it says, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. There's a price to pay for rebellion and refusing to obey God's word and to keep this out of your life. Number two, parents that allow their children to have any form of magic, now this is serious, actually surrender their spiritual authority over that child. They relinquish a spiritual authority of their spiritual covering over that child and make that child open to the devil, for the devil to attack them. Because it's wrong, it's an abomination, and it's sin. And you basically hand that child over to the devil. Three, repentance isn't enough. It has to be renounced. A lot of people think, well, you know, that was before I got saved. You know, it's under the blood. Well, great. You received forgiveness for it, but did you break the contract? When you enter into any form of the occult, and that means playing with a Ouija board one time, you enter into a legal binding contract with Satan. You have to renounce it, which means verbally, out loud. You don't have to be in church. You could do this by yourself. You could say, I renounce Satan, his works, witchcraft, whatever it was specifically, and I sever the contract and I break it now. I declare my freedom from that in Jesus' name. So it's twofold. Why? Why is witchcraft different sin? Because there was no sin offering. There was no sacrifice for witchcraft in the Old Testament. There is an offering for everything else but witchcraft. And in the book of Leviticus, it says, suffer not a witch to live. God didn't say anything about forgiving them. He said, kill them. Don't kill them, just kill their families and their animals too. That's why it has to be renounced. That's why it's so serious. All right. Now this one, I think, is probably the most serious, the next one that I'm about to read, of all the dangers of dabbling in the occult. And I've seen it, I've witnessed it, and it's the most grievous thing I've ever seen with any sin ever. It's sad. Occultic activity causes the person that's walking in it to have mental disturbances. Why? Because you begin to operate in a power that your body, that you spiritually and emotionally and mentally were never created to walk in. And Satan knows that. So when you begin to do those things, and is there a power of witchcraft? Of course there is. If there wasn't, they wouldn't do it. It wouldn't be around since thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Of course there's power. But what it does to you physically is meant to destroy you. But they don't tell you that. Satan forgot to mention that. You're losing your mind while you're doing it. With every ritual, with every spell, you become more and more unstable. You suffer from disturbances such as suicidal thoughts, blasphemy, mental and emotional disturbances. Because why? It fries your circuits in a lay term, basically. That's what it does. It fries your subconscious. It's like this is a very basic and very small example, but if you take a golf cart and you put race car fuel in it, what would happen? You'd burn it out. It's not made to handle that, okay? That's what happens when you fool with the occult, when you begin to tap into that power. Now, this is where I'd like you all to listen very closely. I'm going to read some examples from this book. The way this book is written, it's very interesting. It's literally, he numbered the examples. He has so many different cases that he's done. He just numbered them and gives a brief write-up about these different people. Christian Counseling and Occultism. Kurt E. Koch, K-O-C-H. He has several really good books out. Okay. In the examples of conjuration, meaning magic, which follow, we shall find illustrated something we have already noted in a few cases. We shall see clearly, the pattern of psychological disturbances continuing through 3 or 4 generations. Example 60. In a pastoral interview concerning his mental disturbances, a man reported the following experience. There was no doctor in our village. My great-grandmother was versed in all kinds of absurd healing crafts, especially in charms. She was a much-sought village doctor. She was moreover regarded as a pious woman, since in her charms she uses the names of the Trinity. Although she had a charm for every disease of man and beast, she was unable to control the psychological suffering of her own posterity. From her own children down to her great-grandchildren, an enormous variety of psychological disorders are observed. 61. A young lady complained in an interview of various emotional problems, such as troubled faith, bad temper, strong sexuality, depression, etc. Her nemesis of occult relations revealed an interesting picture. Her grandmother was a charmer for many years. Her oldest son, the father of the girl who came to me, was harassed by suicidal thoughts. The second son hanged himself. The first granddaughter had fits of mania. The second granddaughter was the girl who came to me. With all these examples, we are faced with the question, which is primary here, the occult involvement or some psychopathy or psychosis? Example 62. A cattle charmer from the Black Forest used the 6th and 7th book of Moses. He introduced his charms with the names of the three devils. After years of successful healing practice, his own mind became disturbed. He was taken to a mental institution. Two of his children suffered the same fate. The whole family had psychological disturbances for several generations. Example 63. A Christian woman related to me in an interview the deep spiritual problems of her family. Her grandfather worked with magic books and conducted occult experiments. Finally, he became blind. He burned his magic books and warned the children that they must not continue in his occult practice because he had become blind as a result of them. In the following generation, an astounding picture of psychological abnormalities presented itself. The son was an alcoholic. The granddaughter is a clairvoyant. She sees the sky, the house, and streets full of spirits. Five of his grandchildren are mentally abnormal with psychopathies and some with psychosis. Only one member of this family of occult subjects found her way to Christ, namely the woman of our example. Since she has to live in the same house as her abnormal relatives, she is exposed to great emotional stress. Can imagine. When in the night her mentally ill niece begins to laugh horribly, she prays together with her Christian husband. Thereupon a banging is heard. Then silence settles in the house once more. Example 64. An evangelist meeting, a farmer's wife sought my advice and help in her spiritual troubles. From her 40th year, she had been melancholic, which is our term today for depressed, and had suicidal thoughts and blasphemous thoughts against God and Christ, although this caused her distress. She faithfully attended church services and Bible studies in a fellowship group. She often desires to pray, but could not. Her daughter had the same spiritual disturbances since she was 12. A question about occult association revealed the customary pattern. The grandfather, that is the great-grandfather of the 12-year-old girl, was a charmer and acted as a doctor for his own children. He possessed only one powerful saying, which always worked and was passed down in order to further to the eldest son. Alongside his healing charms, the family also read Luther's morning and evening blessing and prayed. The conjuring activity was not regarded as evil in any way. They did not acknowledge a connection between the occult method of healing and the psychological disturbances in the family. That is just one, literally, of examples in this book of what happens to people when they fool with the occult. There is a price you pay, and it's a very dear price. There is healing in Jesus Christ, but it's a tough road to get there. 5. The witchcraft follows generationally, as we saw. It affects generations to come, not just you, but your children and their children, even if they don't get involved in the occult. 6. Coming in contact with it briefly or as a joke is all it takes to get a demon. There are people that have been actually manifested demons because, and the demon said, they played with a Ouija board one time and I got them. 7, I think we already talked about this, it undoes the work Jesus did for us at the cross. It will pull you in. It's important to never let that hook come into your life. Never let it in your family. You want to make sure you guard, and not just that, but tell other people. You've learned the truth tonight. Share it with these truths other people around you so that they know how serious it is, and not to keep your mouth closed on that. I'm going to show a little bit of a tape